Director for the Merle Evers Williams Institute for the Elimination of Health Disparities at the University of Mississippi Medical Center, founding director of the Center for Health Among Minority Males with the same institute, and a professor of sociology and criminal justice at Jackson State University. His program of research focuses on specifying social, psychological, spiritual, and behavioral factors impacting the health of African American boys, adolescents, and emerging adults. Welcome.
Well, thank you for this opportunity to share some of the work that we're doing. Let's see. There are no relationships to disclose. I'd also like to acknowledge co-authors. A couple of them are actually in the room. Dr. Katina Beach, who is at the University of Mississippi Medical Center, Dr. Roland Thorpe, who is at Johns Hopkins, and Dr. Derek Beach, who is at Vanderbilt University. And none of us have any conflicts of interest of any type at all. Just by way of background, brief background, African American men have, as most know, disproportionately high levels of illness, chronic disease, and premature mortality. Obesity over the last couple of decades have increased considerably. And just to give you a sense of it, if you look at the obesity prevalence in 2000, it was 28.1, and the obesity prevalence in 2012 was 37.1. And so when we begin to look at some of the racial differences among men, we found that the disparities actually increased, and in particular among young men. So in focusing on African Americans, trying to figure out, okay, what's going on within this population, began to look at some of the factors that, some of the things that African American men do, and sort of thinking back over when we were emerging adults, which is college age folks, typically between the ages of 18 and 30 now. We began to think about this whole thing of sugar consumption. And we found that, as you could see with some of the favorite beverages that we have, you could see that they are calorie dense for a relatively small serving. We found that African-American males, especially those that are in the emerging adult period, have the highest level of sugar-sweetened beverage consumption of any race, gender, or age-specific group in the U.S. And these data are coming from a report that came out in 2011 from the African-American Collaborative Obesity Research Network. And this report was led by actually the outgoing president, APHA, Dr. Shirika Kiminika. In thinking about interventions, particularly those that are lifestyle related, we found that in doing a fairly exhaustive research that only a small group of studies focused on African Americans in particular. However, when we began to look at age graded or classify them by age, we found that participants in these interventions were typically middle age or older. There were very few that focused on those that were college age or during the period of emerging adulthood. Thinking about emerging adulthood, it is a period of instability and change. A lot of times, folks during those periods, they are trying to figure out who they are, what they do. It's also a particularly interesting moment in development because it seems that those behaviors that they stick with, they tend to stick with over a longer period of time. So it's a good age group to intervene. However, you do have that period of instability there. So we were looking for, okay, if we were thinking about how to do this, what's the theoretical foundation? So we settled on social cognitive theory, which has been a conceptual foundation for intervention studies, particularly those focused on healthy eating and physical activity. And this is a personal favorite of mine because it focuses on the person, context, behavior, relationship. And this diagram comes out of the work of Alva Bandura. Within social cognitive theory, there is a component that focuses on self-efficacy. Self-efficacy has been used in a number of interventions that focuses on youth and young adults, not necessarily African-American males, but youth and adults more broadly. Individual beliefs about their ability to achieve personal goals have implication for behavior change outcomes. So if you believe that you can do it, you're more likely to be able to do it. Simple idea, but a powerful one. So the purpose of our study was to examine differences in self-efficacy associated with changing sugar-sweetened beverage consumption intake among African-American and white first-year, first-time college students. These data were collected in 2005 at the University of Memphis by Dr. Beach, who was so gracious and allowed us to analyze these data. And they recruited first-time, first-year freshmen at the University of Mississippi through classroom and dorm presentations, information booths, and flyers. These data were collected via self-administered survey. Some of the items, just to give you an overview, they would collect a number of items came from the Behavioral Risk Factors Surveillance Survey. There were a number of items that focuses on obesity-related behaviors, in particular nutrition and physical activity. There were measures that asked respondents about their self-perceptions of body image, as well as confidence level regarding healthy food choices. Our dependent variable it was derived from the item that asked respondents about their confidence to substitute sugar-sweetened beverages with water. It's a simple question, but we found that interesting. And we had three responses: not sure, sort of sure, and very sure. And we wanted to focus on those who were very sure. Sort of sure is like, well, maybe today, maybe tomorrow. We didn't know quite what to do with it. So what we wanted to focus on those that had confidence, that felt that they had confidence to be able to make that switch from some sugary beverage to water. Independent variables of interest are BMI, of course. We use a couple of items from the McKnight Risk Factor Survey, concerns about weight, and attempts to lose weight. And I want to note that we're one of the few studies that use the McKnight component in a study focusing on young males. We've gotten pushback in some other places about, well, this item was designed for young women, particularly those focusing on those that were anorexic or bulimic and those type of health issues. And we found that, well, wait a minute, there are some studies that have come out over the last couple of years that said that males have body image issues as well. So we decided to look at that and use that as a control variable. Of course, we have diet and physical activity, where we looked at takeout food consumption, which most of us who remember our times back then, we ate a lot of that. So we wanted to make sure that we control it, physical activity, and also sugar sweetened beverage consumption frequency, where we focused on things such as soda, milkshakes and sweetened coffee, chocolate milk, and also back in the day we used to call it red, which was like Kool-Aid and lemonade, which is really popular among college-age students. Some of that, I don't know now, it's been a long time since I've been on a college campus, but that was one of the drinks, like a high C, that was in the fountain. So that's the type of fruit drink that we call it fruit drinks. There's actually a lot of sugar in it, but largely it had a nice color to it. But for some reason, we really liked it. And then we had a few demographic measures. So just to give you a sense of who's in the sample, we had 203 males, 120 white males, and 83 African-American males. So I don't know if you can see this well. You could see from this that the different samples, when you look at African-American males and white males, that they were fairly similar. across a number of the independent variables, where there was difference was here. Okay, 42% of the African-American males in the study reported that they were confident that they could substitute sugar-sweetened beverage with water, while 58% of white males on the sample felt that they were very sure. Okay. So we saw that and said, aha, okay, let's pursue this a little further. So in the first model, we included basically demographic stuff, and we had African-American, well or not, an individual was African-American or white, and we found that African-Americans were half as likely in the first model, half as likely to say that they were very sure that they could substitute sugar-sweetened beverage with water. The second model, when we included more weight-related concerns, we saw that the gap between black and white emerging adults did not change. We had the same pattern in the third model, when we included not only weight-related concerns, but also weight-related behaviors. We found that, by and large, African-Americans were half as likely to say that they were very sure that they could substitute a sugar-sweetened beverage with water. So, what does this mean? Well, this raises some interesting questions about the context in which African-Americans and white males tend to be embedded. We know that they're embedded in different cultural, economic, social, and political environments. And also, we have to think about the experience of African-American males, as they have fewer contexts where actually positive behavior results in equally positive outcomes. And given all of the emphasis on what's going on with African-American males in this country, particularly young African-American males, in the school environment in particular, we found that that's not necessarily a positive context for them. So that could have an impact over time that would essentially influence whether or not they had confidence in themselves to make changes that actually would be good for them. And advertising plays a major role, particularly in the beverage industry. This, as we can see, this handsome young man, this was a Coke ad from the 40s and 50s. Okay, so beverage companies have targeted African Americans, in particular African American men, for a long time. We see another one. Rendering of an older man. You can tell by the price of that stamp that it was some years ago. Then we had athletes got in the game where I'm not picking on Coke here. They just had the most interesting images. So I'm not trying to say, okay, go buy Pepsi. No, they were the ones that really had images out there in terms of posters and a focus on athletes. And of course, things change with the emergence of Michael Jordan. Okay, Michael Jordan, maybe you all are too young for this, actually started out pushing Coke and then switched to Gatorade, which was a big deal. That was a big deal because we don't think about Gatorade as a sugar-sweetened beverage, but you could get Gatorade that's fully loaded, and particularly when you have Usain Bolt and LeBron James still chugging it down. So it has so advertising can have an impact on sugar-sweetened beverage consumption once we begin to broaden what we mean by sugar-sweetened beverages. So here are some of the study limitations. Again, this was to start a conversation, to explore this area. One in particular is that some of the sugar-sweetened beverage consumption variables are not comparable to NHANES, small sample size. Some of the important variables that we tend to look at when we look at African Americans are not available, such as SES, it's a cross-sectional analysis, and we're using self-report data. So the significance here of this study is that it's important for intervention development, especially those focusing on African American males, especially those in the younger categories, is that self-efficacy may be an important point of emphasis. I've seen them in grant reviews that folks will say self-efficacy, but I don't see any measures. I don't see anything where folks are really honing down on it. So we'll have things like this, you know, stop, rethink your drink, go green. Okay, so what? Who cares? Right? We'll have these posters out there focusing on this, and they may be posted in cafeterias, they may be posted in dorm rooms, but this quote really struck me by Albert Bandura. Self-belief does not necessarily ensure success, but self-disbelief assuredly spawns failure. So while we can focus on self-efficacy to say, okay, if folks believe it, they may do it, but when they don't believe it, they're much less likely to do it. So when we have interventions that are targeting a particular group, particularly a group that has the history of, like African-American males, self-efficacy may be a significant point of emphasis. And with that, thank you very much for your time and attention.